Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today is Mr. Olivier van Roysel. He's the CEO of Stax Africa, based in Cape Town, South Africa. First and foremost, Olivier, very welcome to this interview.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Bern. It's great seeing you again after all these years.
Definitely, same here. And you are located in one of my favorite cities of the world, and I'm sure you know what I'm referring to. I mean, Cape Town is a great place. I always allow my interviewees to elaborate a little bit about their previous career, Olivier. Tell our viewers who you are and why did you get into logistics in the first place? How come you're not a car salesman or working in a bank? Why are you in logistics?
Sometimes I wish I would be, but look, I got into logistics immediately after university. So I got the opportunity actually to take part of a program called VIE. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's subsidized by the French government, and it was in 2005. They opened it up to the European candidates, and basically they subsidize youngsters to go for placements in companies abroad. And I got selected to go to Namibia. Mm-hmm. For international removal company, AGS, part of the AGS group. Yeah. It was their subsidiary called Stutterford Van Lines. So international removal 2005 in Namibia. Okay. And that's when I got hooked by logistics. We were doing, of course, international removals, but we had our own trucks moving it from Cape Town to Windhoek and in the whole sub-region.
Wow, fantastic. I mean, that it is what you correctly say. We get bitten by this business, and it's never boring, and every day is different. So I guess that's what we like about it.
Yeah, no, it is. It's never boring. We actually, a lot of people that I meet still in the industry follow the same path. So through this VIE program, I really recommend it for youngsters who want to get involved in logistics or in international companies. It's really a great program, and you directly access, like, you know, a management position abroad when you're 24, 25. And so it's a great way of getting into business.
Okay, cool. Excellent, yeah. Excellent. If we fast forward to current time, Stax, tell our viewers about Stax. When did you start the company? Who are you? Where are you? And what do you do?
Great. So so after this placement in Namibia, I actually got employed by a company in Ghana. So I went to Ghana. It was 2007. And it was a JV between Comexas, which is now Conex Africa, a group, you know, based in Belgium and DRC, and the airport authorities, or the airport handling company. And we started a shipping company there. That business grew quite a lot. I mean, through the years, we expanded to four cities in Ghana. We then opened South Africa in 2015, mm-hmm. Ivory Coast in 2017. As I said, since then, it's been bought over actually last year by Conex Africa. Yeah. And in 2018, I got the opportunity to do a management buyout of the South African entity. Right. So that company, which was Conex of South Africa, got renamed to Stax, and that's where really Stax is born. Yeah, so actually for that whole period, 2018, 2019, I was solely based in South Africa. But then we decided to restart Ghana, Stax in Ghana. We restarted Ivory Coast, Stax in Ivory Coast. Okay. And today we had the opportunity last year to acquire an entity in Sierra Leone.
Oh, yeah.
So today we are actually in South Africa, in Sierra Leone, and in Ivory Coast. The Ghana entity, we did a JV, and we sold out of that business last year.
Okay, that's fantastic. You know, it's difficult with Africa. First of all, it's a huge continent. I'm looking at the map of not of Africa right now. It's a huge continent, and many people claim to be Africa experts. But I mean, why did you choose Sierra Leone, Ivory Coast, and South Africa? Is there trade between the three countries, or is it because you had previous experience there?
Well, I got actually naturalized Ghanaian, so I've always and I spent most of my career in Ghana. So West Africa has really been the region where I've done a lot of business yeah, so the opportunities came through from the history where we were able to open Ivory Coast. Ivory Coast went through a huge boom after the Civil War. And Sierra Leone was really a niche country. We saw quite some opportunities because there's only a few players in that country. We are probably global forwarders. We are probably three or four, AGL, OBT, ourselves, and then a few others. So small country, not a huge volume, but very niche and many opportunities. Just to come back to Africa, Boaz, it always amazes me because being a specialist in Africa is a big word. Africa is really diverse, and you'll find that even countries that are next to each other are completely different. So, I mean, if I can, for example, speak for the two countries we are in, Sierra Leone and Ivory Coast. It's such a different culture. The ways of doing business are very different. The hinterlands or what the ports connect to. So being a specialist in Africa, I think, is a big word. We do know well West Africa, and one of the advantage we have, and South Africa, Southern Africa, we less specialize in East, although we do service East Africa, but we get less involved in the DAP services there. But for West Africa, it's really where we're from, and I do believe we know very well West Africa, and that's actually how we're recognized in South Africa and in those countries. With regards to the flows, quite a lot of flows, especially with regards to mining. There's a lot of mining supplies coming out of South Africa to Sierra Leone, Guinea, Ivory Coast, Ghana, and those countries.
It's interesting. And the name stacks, I mean, stacks of containers or stacks of invoices or bills or well, tell us about the name.
It's actually, I'm happy you asked me that question because it's super random. It actually comes from something. So I don't know if you know in Belgium, so I'm Belgian from origin, and we have the North Coast. We have a digue where people walk and a promenade, and there's these bicycles where you lie on them and you can be four on them and pedaling, and they are called in French cuistax. And when they started developing in Cape Town, the promenade at Sea Point, Mooi Point, I always told myself, you know what, it would be great to bring those cuistax into South Africa. So for a joke, I said, okay, I'm going to call it stacks because cuistax is not great. And so initially it started like that way, and then I got into shipping because I just used the name that I was going to use for that just to start. And then here it's stacks opening. So it made sense for the shipping too. You know, you've got stacks opening, stacks closing, stacks of businesses or stacks of various things. So yeah, that's how the name came.
The only stacks I normally know is the stacks of bills I seem to have all the time. But
Yeah.
anyway, that's
I know.
normal.
No, we're much more the positive stacks.
That's great. Hey, another question. You know that some of the shipping lines, you know who, they like to be forwarders nowadays, and they want to cut out the middleman, like your good selves. And how do you view that in Africa? Some ship owners say, "Oh, we can do intermodal, we can do Africa, we know it all." Is that full of crap, or is it true? Are some of the shipping line competitors to your business nowadays?
So yes, they are. They are competitors, and where we've seen, like for example, in Ghana, they've got quite deep pockets, and they've been financing some of the big customers, duties, and so on. So it gets quite complicated for us to compete. But at the same time, we've actually worked in collaboration with a lot of shipping lines because they want to do TBLs, they need the tracking capabilities to do cross-border and so on. And so actually sometimes we've been actually offering our services of transport to shipping lines and so on. So it's a very complex, there are suppliers, main suppliers, there are competitors, and sometimes our partners and customers. So very tricky kind of relationship. In countries that are like Ghana, which are more established in terms of logistics, it's been more of an issue than in countries like Sierra Leone, where it's not an easy place to do business, and they've kind of held up a bit on trying to go into customs clearance, freight forwarding, and through bill of lading. So there we feel it less, but definitely in Ghana and in South Africa we do feel South Africa actually a bit less, because it's a country that in logistics is very, very neutral. So you've got neutral consolidators, you've got neutral transporters, and it's a country where quite driven by freight forwarders, because we control a lot of the shipments are controlled FOB imports. So they tend to stay a bit more more neutral in South Africa, but West Africa we definitely see them coming in freight forwarding.
And of course, I guess it's a point of choosing the forwarders that have a clear policy of not attacking the freight forwarder. I mean that you choose well, that you don't call the usual suspect all the time, and that you think new and try some other shipping lines that have a policy of protecting forwarder.
Yeah, we definitely approach more the shipping lines that we know remain neutral and that don't have aspirations. We were speaking before the interview about one, such as one, for example. We feel like they don't have that aspiration as much to and staying quite neutral. So yeah, indeed, it is one of the criteria for us to select. But it's hard. It's hard not to work with the big guys, the
Sometimes,
ones that decided to go. And I mean, in West Africa, when MSC bought AGL, AGL is huge in West Africa. So definitely there, we're seeing, especially in terms of the way they work together, there's a lot of, there's a lot of discussions, or I would say even thoughts that go that they get preferential treatments at the terminal. Freetown terminal is AGL, Ivory Coast terminal is AGL, Ghana terminal is consortium. But so yeah, it's a tricky one. Look,
understand.
we there's always going to be a place for small guys, because we've got a much more personalized service. I mean, for us in terms of stacks, we've rolled out with. Over the years, I've got to know good systems and bad systems, and we decided to roll out with CargoWise, which I know has been on top of all the topics lately with their change of pricing and
Yes, I
model.
saw.
But it's a super stable system, so we've rolled out CargoWise in those countries. Very stable system. Not easy to educate our staff to use it, because it's not the most simple system. But yeah, I definitely think there's a space for us, small, independent freight forwarder.
And actually, you pick up the phone. You don't talk to a call center in India if we call you, right?
Yeah, well, it's not even the phone. It's like everybody's on WhatsApp now. I think we've got 1,000 WhatsApp groups with customers, everybody calling us. But it's also good, and we have to continue doing that, because that's how we survive. That's how we give the different service. So I don't feel too threatened at the moment. I do, I, yeah, so I don't feel threatened by the shipping lines,
That's
but
good to hear. We have to fight for the little guy. I'm just again looking at the map of Africa here. Through South Africa, I suppose you can reach Zambia, Zimbabwe, Botswana, can't you? What would be the you can arrange inland transport and transshipment to inland point via South Africa, can't you?
Yeah, correct. So we actually, most of our shipments from South Africa are transshipments or transit through South Africa into Zimbabwe, Zambia, Botswana, DRC. Those are the three countries. We've actually had a huge amount of shipments. At the moment, we're moving grains from Senegal back to Zambia, as well as grains into Zambia. So there's a lot of cranes we're moving. I don't know why. There seems to be a lack of equipment, lifting equipment over there. We've also got quite a strong presence in Botswana, where we've actually, I don't know if it's untold or not, but we're actually joining CLC to represent Botswana.
Cool. Very good.
Yeah, so Been working there in Botswana. There's also quite a lot of happening. So those countries are booming at the moment. Zambia, Botswana, a lot of investments, a
Yeah.
lot of construction and industrial projects going on. So
Okay.
yes, definitely reach out to us for those quotes and those requests.
Sure. Do you see the Chinese everywhere in Africa? There's been a, if we have to speak a little politics, they are everywhere, aren't they?
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it's everywhere, whether it's in infrastructure and logistics, whether it's in industrial projects and especially in mining.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been we've been seeing since 10 years, and 10 years ago it was still kind of the odd, one or two Chinese companies that had bought mines, but now they're actually the majority mine owners, the majority industrial. So it's definitely quite big. We've also actually, and I never told you this, Mo, but we've also invested quite a lot in e-commerce. So very different than
Ah,
project,
okay.
but we've got actually in South Africa an e-commerce platform going for B2C and B2B shipments.
Okay.
And there too, we see a majority of Chinese supplies.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely not only in projects, it's everywhere, but I think we're getting used to it now, correct?
Yeah,
It's happening.
I can imagine it.
Yeah.
It's like we say in Europe, we are good at booking a conference room. In China, they do it. They don't book a conference room. They go
They'll
there.
build it. They'll build it and then they'll have the meeting tomorrow in it. Yeah, it's
Exactly.
super efficient. Look, I think the Chinese culture works well with the Africa way of doing business.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, much more pragmatic, very direct, and hands-on. Europeans, we are very diplomatic. You know how it is.
Yes,
You know, to get
definitely.
a deal through, we go through a lot of levels of diplomacy and red tape. They will just come with the funding behind it. And
Yes.
so it's difficult for African economies you are trying to develop. And a lot of them are trying to industrialize, and you see that more and more to try and refine or create the end products within the country of origin. Very big in Ghana, whether it's in cashew, cocoa, shea butter. There's a lot of policies for it to be refined locally, to create the end product. So
So
definitely there's a
let's say
plan. Yeah.
make sure the money stays in the country and not just
Which
pulled
is
out, so
good.
to speak.
Yeah,
Yeah, definitely.
exactly. Yeah.
What's your headcount in your offices? So you mentioned Ivory Coast, Sierra Leone, and South Africa. How
Yeah.
many are
So
you?
we're still quite small. We're about 50.
50, okay.
About 20 in Sierra Leone, 10 in Ivory Coast, and 15 in South Africa.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got a very much startup mentality, not only in our culture and the way we kind of work with our colleagues, but also in the way we grow. Very flat organization. I get involved. Unfortunately, for example, at the moment in Sierra Leone, I have to get involved myself in a project, so driving day-to-day documentation, customer service, and this happens throughout the organization. So it's great to be kind of a startup in logistics. Really great people around us. Very
That's
flexible working hours. We work from home, except on Fridays. We all meet in the office, and it seems to be working for us. But I guess it's also because of our size that it's working. Once you're 100, 200, 300 people, it gets harder to start controlling this work from home policy and so on.
I had to, in my career, I had a bit the same like you. You know, if something grows too big, then it's time to go. Then politics start, and you need an HR department, and he doesn't like he, and she doesn't like him, and you spend more time doing internal politics than actually getting the customer, and that's when it's time to go, you know.
Gets less fun, we're all in this to have fun, and it does get less fun when we're in that phase where we're 15, 20 in each entity. It's great sizes. We can select our customers, we can do the work well, and everybody's super motivated. It's a great space to be in, and I don't know if we want to grow too much. We have got plans of expansion in West Africa in two countries. Some of them are already registered, but we'll keep everyone informed when they come. Definitely, we've got plans.
as we say, hurry slowly. And that's also a thing. If you grow too fast or grow too slow, to find the balance there is not easy. How do you view this year business-wise for you until now? How has 2026 been for you? And what do you see in your crystal ball for the rest of the year?
Yeah, been quite good for us. Okay, as I said, we just restarted kind of our operations quite recently, about a year and a half ago. Before that, we actually got we were part of ISS, because we got acquired our business for 3 years, part of ISS Group. So we had a for 3 years stack stopped operating, and we were all working for ISS. But it's been great so far. A lot of our customers have come back to Stacks and shown their commitment. Our volume is growing, especially, like we said, in the transit business. And in West Africa also, there's a lot of congestion, like in Guinea. Most of the customers in Guinea, that's because of the mines and Rio Tinto project and so on.
The Simandou.
Yeah, the Simandou project. Most of the customers, well, they are selecting to now transship via Freetown, via Abidjan. We got this morning a confirmation of 350 containers from Abidjan to a mine in Guinea. So we see more and more interactions between the countries.
Fantastic.
It's great. So it's really been this kind of hinterland transit business that's been growing quite substantially this year, and that we didn't see last year.
Fantastic. And I think that's where you can really make a difference. You are hands-on, you have the right people, you can be reached. I think do try to keep that size that you have. It seems to me that it's the right policy now. And I think these big dragons with all their politics, you can beat them anytime. If you just keep the service level up, they will come back to you, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. But that's not an easy thing in Africa, you know, with all the keeping the service levels. It's
No.
the hardest thing.
I can imagine. Hey, let me just for my own reference, you're born in Belgium, right? Or
Correct.
you're Belgian national. Okay,
Yeah.
but
Yeah.
when did you leave Belgium way back?
So I did my master's in international management at Liège in Belgium, Brussels. And immediately after I left for Namibia.
Cool.
So I always knew I wanted to live in Africa. It was my goal. It's to and
Fantastic.
South Africa. Yeah.
You are in South Africa and I'm in South America in Chile. I mean, somehow I like to go back to Europe and visit, but it's too boring there.
No,
Somehow.
so we go for the break bulk. So I'll be there next month for the break bulk, and then we come back for the sun. I think that's quite a nice, yeah.
Don't forget, I mean, you're part of the CLC projects. Will you be at the lunch CLC have on the 15th of June? Do you know?
No, I didn't actually even know there was a lunch.
Well, okay, but then
But
I'll
if
say
I've been invited, I'll definitely be there. 15th of June,
just
that
before
is,
the
yeah,
opening.
definitely.
Then
Yeah, definitely. Please do invite me, bro, and I'll see you there.
of course. Then we'll see each other there. That's great. Okay, I better get back to the official interview here. So anyway, Olivia, really, I want to say to you many, many thanks for this chance to meet with you. You are a proactive guy and a nice guy. We met before in South Africa, so. Really, thank you very much for this interview.
No, thank you very much, Bo. And we'll see each other in a month then.
Yeah, definitely. And to
Okay.
all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been Mr. Olivier van Roysel, a nice Belgian origin person that lives many, many years in Africa, and he is the CEO of Stacks, a project and global forwarder. They also do e-commerce with offices in Sierra Leone, in Ivory Coast, and South Africa, and expanding, but still keeping the size handy. Do contact him if you need anything in Africa, and in the future, I'm sure Africa will be the continent to go to. For me and Project Cargo Weekly, thank you very much, and until next time, see you later. Thank you.